Friends and Christ and family of Bethlehem, we have one more tough topic in our tackle box today. And as we've seen, some of the other past topics have been pretty prickly, kind of like this piece of fishing tackle. Sometimes we can get hung up on them, we can get into arguments about them, but as we've been talking about, we can use them to catch fish other believers for Christ. That's what we do today. We're going to learn about how one more tough topic is sports. Now, why do you think sports would be a tough topic? Especially after we just got done talking about a really tough topic called racism. How is that a tough topic like that? Any guesses? What do you think? We'll find out in a bit. But believe it or not, sports are in the Bible. Do you guys know that? Sports are actually in the Bible. Other than the readings that we heard about today, you can just open to the very first book of the Bible, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, it's baseball right there, the beginning. Well, today, guess what? There's a whole lot more about sports that we can talk about as Christians. Let's kind of play the field, so to say. Faith and sports in the history of the church. What does it say? As we just heard about today in various scripture readings, the Apostle Paul has talked about sports already. He sees them as a good way of describing our life together and our faith, about running the race, fighting the good fight, and training in righteousness. Just like athletes and during the Olympics or in everyday sports, you have to train in order to actually win something, unless you're really gifted at a sport. You have to train in order to win a prize. Well, as Christians, we already won the prize, but we are still always training how we can be a better Christian. However, despite what the Bible says in that regard, there's some other interesting things about why sports and Christianity have conflicted. As we've seen in the current set of events, the Olympics are going on. But guess what? Back before the New Testament was even written, the Olympic Games were kind of a non-Christian thing, if you think about it. They were dedicated to those pagan false gods like Zeus and Nike. Yes, Nike. The reason why we have shoes named Nike is because that was a Greek god for victory. False god, by the way. And guess what? Athletes competed in the nude in ancient Greece. How'd you like to do that today? I don't know if I'd want to be part of those sports. Certainly wouldn't win any gold medals. And the gladiator games. We like to glorify them in movies with Russell Crowe and whatever, but these are not good things as for Christianity. People made sport out of killing Christians. So as you can see, sports are kind of a touchy topic in the world of faith. But how else might sports be a tough topic for us today? What else do you think? Well, let me give you a hint. We're going to talk about the idolatry of sport. Ooh. Now we're getting a little touchy. Well, I want to share with you a little handbook. This was the handbook that little Pastor Aaron in seventh grade learned about his faith. Anybody raise your hand? What is this book all about? I'm going to go with some of our junior high and high school kids. What is this little book? It might be a different color. What is it? What is this? What do you think? Anybody? Come on, confirmands. You are out there. Shout it out loud. Luther's Small Catechism. Yeah. Martin Luther, a couple hundred years ago, wrote this book for his four-year-old son to learn about the faith. It talks about the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, all the things we learn about in church. But did you know that there's a small catechism and a large catechism? Because it's large. The large catechism was written for parents and teachers and pastors. And the large catechism helps us explain what those big things, like the Ten Commandments, really mean. So let me talk about what the first commandment means. And that'll help us understand all the other things that you see in the screen. Anybody shout out, what is the first commandment out of the Ten Commandments? You should, what? You have no other gods. Interesting. How do we have other gods? We don't worship Zeus or Aphrodite anymore. We don't set up totem poles or bow down to stone sculptures like they did back in Egypt. So how can we have any more gods? Luther tells us that to have a god means that it's the one thing that we look for all good, and in which we find refuge in all need. Therefore, to have a god is nothing else than to trust and believe in that one thing with your whole heart. Did you catch that? We can make a god out of something or someone if we put all of our time and energy and trust into it. Now, with that explanation, what are some things that maybe all of us, myself included, have made our god at some point in our lives? It could be a family member, a spouse, a boyfriend that, or girlfriend that we just idolize. It could be sports. Hopefully it's not for us today, but guess what? If it is, then all the other Ten Commandments follow in line. Think about in the last maybe 50 years, or a couple years if you're younger like me, cheating in sports. How many of you guys have seen cheaters in sports? Maybe in your own team, or maybe in a Super Bowl team, they maybe deflated footballs, or maybe they put cork in a bat, or maybe they were using drugs to make themselves really, really strong and just hit homers all day. We've seen them every year. Not only when that happens, we're breaking the second commandment because we're lying, we're breaking the first one too. We've made sport our god. Ethics. Ethics are the conscience things that we do. We will try so hard at winning at no other cost. Winning's the goal. How about a misuse of priority? What is the third commandment today? Guess what? You're all obeying it. It's to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, to honor God. Guess what? There's a lot of people out on the golf course right here when they could be in church. Not saying golf is bad, but it can be bad when it's taking the place of God or your family. How about the fourth commandment? Honor your father and mother. Guess what? That doesn't just mean your moms and dads. It's honoring all other authority figures. Like yelling at the umpires because they made the wrong call again. Or there's too much home field advantage. We just hate those umpires, don't we? Those referees. When we do that, guess what? As parents, we're making a bad example for ourselves. And as kids, we're just not learning who's in charge. Injuries. Some people choose not to play sports because they just don't want to get injured. I love football. I used to play football since I was in seventh grade all the way up to when I was going into college. I used to play track and field all the way up into college. I tried basketball. I tried wrestling. Guess what? I got injured in all of them. Maybe that's why I decided to be a pastor. But fifth commandment means that we should fear and love God so that we don't hurt or harm each other or our bodies, but take care of them. Some people just will go for sports, go for winning at all costs, even if it means that they will have a hurt brain for the rest of their lives. Violence. There were some football teams back in the day that incentivized, that gave people money just to get other team players hurt. That's also illegal. Greed. Stealing people's trophies, even, because they just wanted a trophy. Consumerism. The sports world, and if you haven't had kids in sports in public schools or private schools, guess what? It costs a lot of money, a whole lot of money. Whether it's for the equipment or for just foods and drinks, all the just the sports stuff. It's needed, but what else could we do with that money for our family if we didn't make it all of our time? And then finally, the big word called narcissism. It's named after one of those fake Greek gods, Narcissus, that always looked to himself as the perfect, most handsome person in the world. Sports have a way of creating that narcissism, that pride, and arrogance even in our own heart and brings it out. Now, those are the bad things. Why they can become a very, very tough topic for all of us. But like I said, I'm a sports fan. I love sports. I love the Milwaukee Bucks. We just won a national championship in 50 years. Pretty exciting. Let alone the other Wisconsin sports teams. What else can we say? Well, there are Christian benefits. Don't get me wrong. How many of you have met friends or created lifelong memories because you were involved with a sport? Or maybe you enjoy more time with your neighbors because you can get together and watch a sport on TV. How have your kids, or how are you as a person, growing in leadership and how to deal with other people because you're in a sport? Pretty important things. We learn how to respect authority figures because of sports. And we learn stewardship, not just about taking care of the money that we have, but stewarding our bodies. How can we treat the body God gave us by making it stronger and healthier? If we didn't have sports, would we really even care about our bodies as Christians? Maybe. All right, so what does that all mean for us today? There is hope for us to make sports a part of our Christian lives. God didn't give Adam and Eve a vacation in the Garden of Eden. He gave them a task to be the image of God and to work and keep the garden and develop it. So I want to do a small Bible study for us today. In front of your pews, each of you has a Bible. Pick it up. We're going to open it today again. And I'll make it really easier. It's on page 2. Page 2. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2 today and read verses 15 through 17. This is right in the smack dab in the beginning. God calls us stewards to develop and to delight in his creation. So, if you're looking here, the Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." All right, we know that as Christians sometimes by heart. That was the whole thing that started it all. But a lot of us focus on the bad part, the don't eat the bad fruit. But did you catch it? In verse 16, God tells him, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden." Like, we're pessimists, right? We like hearing with our ears what we can't do, but guess what we can do? Adam could have everything that God made to not only take care of it, watch it grow, but to enjoy it, the good stuff, let alone that one little tree. He's got the whole world to himself. And what that means for us today is that God created this world, our bodies, and yes, even sports, to develop and to delight in as his creatures. There is hope for us because when we engage in using our bodies in Christian sports, we honor God. But only when we realize what he has done for us already. So that brings us to another point. There is good news. Yes, yes, there is good news. We call it the gospel. And it's not just that Jesus died to save souls. But he rose again to renew and restore this broken world so that we could be back in line and use the things of life to glorify God. Jesus is still alive, and he is still restoring this broken world until that final day. That's why you can see sometimes out there, there are people that are athletes, Christian athletes, that go by the phrase, I am second. They can use the accolades, the praise they have, and be humbled to know that it's all to God's glory. That's what we're all called to be as Christians, whether we're athletes or not, to give God glory whenever we have praise. It's not because we're good inherently by ourselves or that we worked hard. It's because God did it all in us, through us, and sometimes in spite of us. So that leads me to another thing. If you guys have a bulletin today, these are really important. By the way, you should always read them. There's a lot of announcements we work hard for, but every Sunday there's a sort of a gist of what the day is about. And it says this, sports and leisure are an everyday aspect of life. Scripture commends rest and enjoyment as well. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all of his toil. This is the gift of God. But as we're saying, I have this question. How many Christians playing or enjoying sports are Christians in sport? In other words, how many Christians don't just play sports, but actually see that their sport and faith are integrated? Not separate areas. I go to church on Sunday and enjoy sports during the week, but integrated. I enjoy sports as part of a whole view of worship. Well, you see, today is this day kickstarts the whole week. How do you let your faith play out wherever you go the next couple days? As we do that, we are working toward an end goal. There's a fun movie I love called The Field of Dreams. A lot of you maybe have watched it back in the day. It's a story about a son and his dad that they never really quite had a good relationship and was severed. But it was the game of baseball that brought them back together. Maybe a glimpse into heaven, it says. And at the very end, there's this image of being able to see his dad in this picture. His dad seemingly comes back from dead as a vision into heaven. He asks, and he looks around at the cornfields of Iowa, is this heaven? His son, Kevin Costner, says, no, it's Iowa. Some love it because, yes, this is God's country in the rural country areas. But it reminds us that perhaps sports would be in eternal life. Only because Jesus is making things all new. We are all living for the future. We are living for the day that Jesus comes back to restore the beauty of this world and to make us still delight in all the good things. And, yes, maybe even baseball. Until that time, we glorify God in our bodies, in our minds, and, like Paul says, we run the race of faith, always looking to our victor, Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for beautifully and wonderfully making us who we are and giving us the things that bring the zest out of living and making us have joy. Help us be those creatures you've made us to be, but to always glorify you and keep you first, keep you our priority. In Jesus we pray. Amen.